Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have back once again on the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. He's been stopping by here on the first Wednesday of the month for forever. And we've been doing these shows where we talk about food and cooking and always have a great time by picking out a topic and then saying, well, we'll talk about this thing, swap recipes, swap stories. And usually it's the kind of thing where maybe it's a particular dish and there are just many ways to do it. And so what we're interested in is hearing from people, well, what's your approach to this? Do you have some way of making something that's different than what other people do? And this time around, his thought was he'd like to talk about cookies, something that who cannot embrace the idea of cookies. And it may be something, you know, you have a very basic recipe for. It could be something special because there are cookies that I think a lot of people have them as a kind of food tradition in their house, and maybe only one time of the year maybe you make this, and then the rest of the year you don't have it. So if you're willing to share a recipe with us, why don't you do that? And Doyle has some, and we'll talk. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. One other thing I want to mention here just right at the beginning. Over the past couple of weekends, folks from WILL have been out at the Urbana Farmers Market at Lincoln Square. And just there to kind of say hi, and we got tote bags, and we got cookbooks, and we got DVDs of the Memorial Stadium documentary, and, you know, those things are there. But we're also there just to meet people and to say hi and find out what you think about the programming. And they said, Jay Pierce, the station manager, said to me, Dave, how'd you like to go out there and take your friend Mr. Moore? And I said, well, yeah, we could do that. So this weekend, one weekend only, this weekend, Saturday at the Farmer's Market, Doyle and I will be there at the WILL table between 9 and 11. So stop by and say hi. You can share a recipe. You can pick up one of the, if you didn't get one of the cookbooks that we did on one of the two cooking shows we've done now on TV, we'll have those. And we'd like to see you. So as many folks as possible, stop by.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so now we're here, one of those kind of cooking transitional times, I guess. We're in between. Summer's pretty much over, and we're now seem suddenly to be into fall. And I'm sure maybe some people are starting to think about, well, it'd be okay to put the oven on. I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Well, you kind of have to get back into the kitchen. We've been out on the barbecue for so much, you know, and cooking lighter things or things that aren't even cooked, you know, just fresh put together. And I come up with these ideas at the moment. I mean, it's because that's the way I was feeling. And I thought, well, maybe other people are feeling the same sort of urge, like, I want to do something, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to cook a great big meal. I don't want to do that. And then all of a sudden, well, why not have cookies? So for some, and then, you know, chance favors a prepared mind. All of a sudden, I'm inundated with cookie recipes that where are they coming from? You know, it amused me that they were. So I found some that are really most peculiar. And I got interested then in, these are totally different from anything I ever knew. So I made a bunch. And naturally, I left them on the kitchen table today as I was grabbing everything else and running. And so you'll just have to, I'll send them to you by, I can't send them to you by email. I'll send them to you somehow. Anyway, I made some of these cookies so that you would know that they're not just a matter of, oh, go do some research and pile up some recipes.
Well, I appreciate we appreciate the thought. We'll get a courier. We'll get a special courier to deliver cookies. Somebody with a bicycle and a backpack, and we'll get and have them come.
Well, on. The first I want to start with this,
yeah,
because
so,
the first recipe that really did kind of make me interested in what was this is I can't accept the recipe's name that they have on here. It's called A-PEES. And all I can think of is that it's something that will appease you. And then that becomes a pun. That's not what you do for a recipe name. So I don't. So this is, to me, it's a recipe with no name because the cookie is so, so good. And it's weird. So here's how weird it is. And I have added my own weirdness to it. I use the white whole wheat flour. And instead of sugar, regular sugar, I use brown sugar. So I have even made my own invention into this. It's 2 cups of all-purpose flour, of which I use a whole wheat, 1/2 cup of sugar, and I use the dark brown sugar. Then it's 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, which I didn't have any, and I didn't want to sit there and grind a whole nutmeg to get 1 teaspoon. So I put in allspice. And then I said, they've got mace in here. I don't have any mace, and so which goes along with the nutmeg taste. So I put in cloves. I said, let's push it a little more. So I put about 1/2 teaspoon of cloves. So it's just cinnamon, nutmeg, and mace, and sugar, and flour. Then it uses 1/2 cup of butter, which is two sticks. And you chop those up into the flour mixture that you've swished around. And then I use a dough mixer, a pastry cutter.
Cut it into
Yeah. Okay. That really does work. And get a good strong one. I don't like those made out of wire. I want a good strong one so that you can really mash up the butter. And then you put in 1 1/2 tablespoons of caraway seeds that's supposed to be in the rye bread. So the caraway seeds are lurking around in there. And then for liquid, 1/2 cup of dry white wine. There is no egg. There is no milk. There is no cream. There is no cream cheese. And I thought, how can you possibly make a dough out of this? It's just wet flour. Well, it makes the best feeling dough I've ever made. You have to get in there. You have to be careful. You don't want to make it too sloppy. So you put in as much wine as they ask for, and it wants a little bit more. And I think it wants a little bit more because I'm using the whole wheat flour and the regular flour. So I added about 3 more splashes of wine. Then you get in there, mix it as best you can with a spoon, but then get in there and really, really kind of work it a little bit with your hands, and then you begin to form it into a ball. It is the most interesting feeling dough because it's very soft and yielding, but yet it's still firm and kind of resistant. It's peculiar, and it's dark brown. And I thought, is that from brown sugar? And I guess it is. So anyway, sort of dark brown. Then you roll it out, and you roll it out thick. It wants to be at least 1/4 inch thick, not the little thin things, about 1/4 inch thick, and pop them into the oven, which is very hot, 375, for exactly 20 minutes. I mean, it's right down to, yes, 20 minutes. And I cook mine in a convection oven. So I keep watching it because they cook a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes has been it. Well, they want to be just yielding to the touch when you take them out so that they're still what you might think as soft a little bit in the middle. They aren't. They're not crisp and they're not tough. And and you eat them and you say, this is so good. Why is this so good? A lot of people, I see. You made this with ginger. No, I didn't put any ginger in it. It's all those other spices mixed together. Mm-hmm. And it's a very strange taste. I've never come across it before. So I made it last week and took it to Japan House when I was giving a lecture on tea ceremony. I just told them it was a new kind of a cookie that we had to have for tea ceremony.
So that if you did use both the nutmeg and mace, that's essentially the same.
It's going to be
in very, very. It's going to be really nutmeggy.
Yeah. A teaspoon of nutmeg, because you generally just put eight little grinds of nutmeg. Yeah, it'd be very nutmeggy, and I have whole nutmegs, but also I know it would take 1 1/2. Nuts, you know,
that would be a lot of this.
That would be an awful lot. And I thought, no, I don't even want to do that. And I like allspice anyway. And that's kind of peculiar because I've found people who don't know that there is such a thing called allspice.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's been an old standby.
And they call it that because it's supposed to taste like a combination of
various spices.
Yeah,
it is called that. But and you get them whole, and you can get it ground. Well, I did that, and I thought, nah, let's push it up a little more. Let's get some cloves in it. So I may have affected a little more of the taste, and it's not zingy, and the cookies last, and they don't dry out. They stay at that strange soft, almost like shortbread. Mm. Well, mm-hmm. There it is. It's a half a cup of butter and two cups
of
flour.
Well, it's got a lot of butter. It's pretty short.
Yeah, it's pretty short, and so it makes a real neat taste. Well, I was very pleased with that. So you can think about it, or drop over after the show. I'll leave them on the porch. You can pick them up.
This is our monthly program on cooking. We do it the first Wednesday of the month. And the guest is the guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And we've been doing this for a long time, talking about different kinds of cooking and different dishes. And the deal is that we open up the phones and say, well, you know, call in. And you could say hi. You could call in with a recipe. You could call in with a story. And always keep sort of around one topic, although we wander off into
we can go anywhere.
Areas. And so if you have a good cookie recipe, particularly if it's something that's kind of unusual.
Maybe, yeah.
You can give us a call. 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. So where did you come across this recipe?
That's the thing that I can't remember. Well, I got it. I got it off the computer somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I found it. I wasn't looking for it. It just came up somewhere, and it doesn't have anything on here. It's from My Recipes, says myrecipes.com. But anyway, I was surprised at the name of it, and then when I looked to see, I know that there must be more folk recipes like this that don't follow that thing through of creaming the sugar and butter and then putting in an egg and you know the regular sort of sugar cookie recipe. And I was just surprised that this was something that was held together with a third of a cup of dry white wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to me to be very unusual. Maybe there are other traditions that use that. I've never run into anything like that. So that's my first thought. And I went right down and made it.
So how would you describe the taste of this? I'm interested.
Exotic.
I can't quite picture it. Yeah.
It's exotic. It isn't like, oh, yes, that's an Old Spice cookie like Mother made, or yes, this is like a ginger snap. No, it's not. None of the above. The texture is totally different from a cookie that I've ever eaten because it doesn't dry out and it doesn't get hard. And I think they were around for maybe 3 days. I made another bunch day before yesterday. They only lasted 2 days. So I think the strange surprise is when you munch down on a caraway seed, because that's a flavor that you think in terms of Hungarian sauerkraut and mm-hmm. Bavarian tastes and things like that and rye breads and I don't know, I never knew of any sweet that utilized caraway seeds. I can't think of anything that goes. So it was very surprised to me, but it was exotic, and it wasn't fearful, and it wasn't. Oh no, I don't think I could stand to eat these. Oh no, you ate them and said, these are really good. Why are they so good? So that's what started out this search of poking around and trying to find things.
Yeah, right.
And I thought maybe other people have come across something. I keep thinking that we increase our repertory over a period of time, and I'm always interested in what attracts people to finding these things at this particular time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, if you have a good cookie recipe to share with us and the other people who are listening, 333-9455, same number as always. We do also have that toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you got something to say, you got a recipe to share, you can pick up the telephone and give us a call. As we are getting now into the we were talking a little bit before we got going that it was now that it's really seems to have cooled off pretty suddenly, now I'm starting to think of, okay, let's get in there. We're going to turn the oven on. I'm going to make chili and cornbread or something like that. I'm just suddenly very inspired to do fall.
Oh, that's because
fall
you made those two
stuff.
Chili recipes
on the show. Well,
ago.
I don't know. Well, I just I stood by and watched those. I watched somebody else make them. And of course, I thought to myself, well, this is okay. But of course, mine is better.
Yes, indeed.
But I I've not been certified by winning any competition. You know, both those guys were had won many chili cook-offs.
Oh yes.
So they had they have many trophies and ribbons and stuff like that to show for it and
bragging rights.
Yeah, exactly, Shell. But that's I guess again when we did that, the thing that I thought about was it's. The fun thing about that particular dish is the flexibility of it, and you can, you know, whatever you, however you want it, fine. You know, you can. I'm sure there are people who will argue about what it should be or what it shouldn't be, but I guess I would say, well, whatever you like, you know, fine. Go ahead and do it.
Well, I shouldn't make fun of you because you see, I went home and I made some chili too, but I used bulgur in mine. Because I wanted a vegetarian chili. Mm-hmm. And I was stunned at how good it was. I was really surprised at how good it was.
Bulgur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it thickened it up and it gave it a texture. And it was just, everything else was there. I thought, well, why haven't I done this before? But I was inspired.
Well, all right then. I've made it with lentils. Instead of beans.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, but that's kind of, that's not too radical. But yes, that's true. It still had hamburger in it. Yeah. Right. I got a call here in Terre Haute. Let's talk with them. Line number 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Hello. I had a question of where I could find the recipes online. And mace is such an unusual thing. I thought they only used that in sausage. I think it's a Bavarian-type recipe.
Oh, mace has been used for a long time, and it was always one of those secret things that, well, I think my mother did have mace, but I never saw her use it. I never knew what it was used for, and I was surprised to find out that it is a covering between the nutmeg and the hull of the nutmeg. It doesn't taste like nutmeg, but nutmeg is the nut on the inside, and it's got this strange little visceral-looking web around it, and that is dried and ground into mace. And it's a very old substance. So that's what it is.
And I can find these recipes on website.
We have now. I guess I feel bad because I was just looking here at the website, and we're behind now. There are recipes on our website. Yes, as going back to May, and we have not gotten the last few shows on there, and I guess I'm not exactly sure why. We had someone who was a volunteer who was generously coming in and spending the time transcribing the recipes and getting them on the website, and that's how we were getting it done. And so we're a little bit behind. I think so you can find recipes up and through May by going to the website, which is will.illinois.edu, and then go to Focus 580 and links, and the ones that are there are there. And then we'll also try, and my apologies. Again, I think I maybe have some people we haven't taken care of. But if people would write us an email, I think more recent recipes, we've got them, and we can send you a copy if there's a particular one that people would like. And then, of course, people can go back and listen to the show. And if that way, that it's a little bit more tedious, but that way they can get the recipes as they're given, and they just have to write them down.
Thank you very much. Just enjoy the program.
Great. Well, thank you very much for calling. Other calls, questions, comments, recipes, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I guess I kind of thought that mace Now maybe I'm now going to have to do an A-B comparison, that mace was kind of like, kind of tasted like nutmeg, but was different. See?
Well, it tastes different. Like it, but it's different. It's different. It is different enough that it is an ingredient rather than a substitute. You know, you don't.
Yeah, it's something of its.
Yeah, you don't substitute one thing for. But I think I kind of think if it was used, it was used mostly in something like spice cakes, where you did have combinations of spices. But I don't know that I've ever owned mace.
Well, I know that it's in some commercial curry powders have mace in them.
They do.
Yes. And I don't know, is there mace in garam masala?
That would be a place I would look for it, since you tell me that it's Indian, you know.
Yeah.
Because it wants to be that strong of flavors. So, every once in a while you see a picture of somewhere right now on television, I know that there's a picture of a nutmeg with the mace wrapping around it. And I don't know what that particular advertisement is about, but I do know it exists. Hmm. And it's always sort of a surprise to see it, because you never see mace as just those tendrils. You see it as ground up. And it's there.
Okay. Well, again, other questions, comments, or whatever, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And yes, according to the Font of All Knowledge Wikipedia, Northwest Indian garam masala usually has cloves, cardamom, cinnamon, mace, and or nutmeg. And sometimes, apparently, it has black pepper.
Yes.
In it. And sometimes it says black cumin, and I'm not even sure I've ever seen black cumin before. Anyway, so that's what I think of it as being something that is in mixtures of those kind of spices that are used in Indian cooking. Well, give us another recipe.
Well, I just happen to have another one right here that, as you know, I've in these last 30 years, I've been searching for recipes that utilize potato chips, because I have a feeling, I don't know why, it's just my own feeling, is that potato chips are something that can be a real product for cooking rather than a thing to snack on. And I want to go farther than, oh, yes, you can crumble up the potato chips and put them on the top of casseroles and things like that. Yes, that'd be all right. But somehow that seems to be a waste. Doesn't seem to have – it isn't utilizing that particular element. And so I keep looking and looking and looking. And lo and behold, I found a recipe for potato chip cookies. Those were the others that are left I made those last night, and they're left at home too. Potato chip cookie. I said, "Come on, you got to be kidding!" Yes, with drizzled chocolate on top. And one of the comments was, "Oh, I just loved it. As a child, I used to love dipping potato chips in chocolate. These will be wonderful." So the cookie is even simpler than the other one. This is so simple, and again, there's no liquid in it. And I thought, this is pretty peculiar. Again, a cup of butter and a half a cup of sugar. And again, I used brown sugar and butter. And the butter wants to be a little soft. So I put it in the microwave for 10 seconds and checked it again and put it in for another 10 seconds. And I had exactly the right texture of the butter. It's not melted, but it's soft enough that you can cream it. And I didn't want to get out the mixer and all that, so I was going to cream it by hand. My mother always creamed sugar and butter by hand. So you cream the sugar and the butter, and then a teaspoon of vanilla and 1 3/4 cup of flour. Again, I used white whole wheat because I'm fond of using that. Mm-hmm. And then a cup of crushed potato chips. That's it. And yes, it made a dough that you could scoop with by the teaspoonful, and they're drop cookies, So they're a teaspoon on an ungreased cookie sheet and bake them for exactly 15 minutes. And they were perfect. And then I melted some chocolate and drizzled on top of that, and there they were. And now they tasted. They don't have a real flavor because there's nothing in it other than the molasses in the sugar, because that's what brown sugar differs from white sugar, is there's kind of a molasses taste. And there was only a teaspoon of vanilla. There's nothing else in it, and a lot of butter. And again, it made a very nice short. But then as you munch through that shortbread, you all of a sudden say, what's this crunch? Well, it's the potato chips. Mm-hmm. Potato chips add a texture to it, and so the mouth appeal of it is really great. And then it's not too much sugar. It's only a half a cup for a full cup of butter. It's only a half a cup of sugar. And so they aren't super sweet. But the texture is totally different, and they baked just they swell up a tiny bit and they flatten out a tiny bit. I thought they might run out and spread a lot, but they don't. And so I watched those very carefully. 15 minutes was it. It says 13 to 15, and I checked them at 13. Nope, they aren't done. 15. Yep, they are done. So I was surprised at that, because there it was. The potato chips had an integral part of the constitution of that cookie.
Well, I guess I do think about how, you know, we do have things that combine something that's crunchy and something that's salty with chocolate.
Yeah.
We got chocolate-covered pretzels.
Well, that's true.
Nuts and stuff like that. So maybe that's not quite so wild as you might
Well, the
think.
Chocolate's on there. It just sort of drizzled on the top. It's not
so just an accent.
It's not really
accent.
Coated. Yeah, it's just a little accent. And I almost wonder if it was really necessary, except I think that it's in your mind. I think I want a little more than what I'm getting, you know. If it's only butter and sugar and flour and potato chips, you think that something might be missing.
Okay. Well, let's talk with somebody else here in Vermilion County. Line number one. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Three questions, two related to cookies and one related to the vegetarian chili recipe that Doyle made that he said.
Oh, yes.
When did you have that, or is it available online?
What, the chili recipe?
Yeah, how do I get the recipe?
Oh, dear.
We did last, was this the most recent? Okay, on our website. If you go to Focus 580 and go to the links and then go to the recipes, on November last year, it says here we did a chili show. So if you would just click on that, November 7th, 2007, okay. Here is, and here right the first thing is Doyle's vegetarian chili, and there's the recipe.
Great.
Does it use bulgur?
No.
No, it doesn't.
Okay,
no,
so this is some other vegetable. Oh. Okay, you were talking about the one you just made the other day.
The one I made the other day. I tell you what, I have that somewhere at home, because I did save the recipe of that. I'll bring it to the station, and you can or send a letter in, and they'll tell me that I need to mail you a copy.
Thank you.
I was really surprised because a lot of people don't know what I have done, but I have had to change my eating habits, and I've not eaten any meat because I suffer from gout, and I chose to either walk or have a hamburger. So I chose that I would rather walk, and I have been very successful for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, of not consuming any purines through meat. And everybody is very happy. The doctors are very happy. I'm very happy, and I'm consistent in it. But I do love the idea of a chili. And I thought, well, why not? I didn't want to make a vegetarian chili. And then I thought about something when I was in England. In the early 70s, I made chili for some English folks, and we want you to make this chili. Make this chili. It's wonderful. So I sat there and made it. When it got made, she says, vegetable curry? I do that all the time. And I thought, how dare you call call my chili vegetable curry. But I realized when I was making it that I was doing exactly what you do to make a vegetable curry, except I was putting in the chili powders and such things and the cumin and the flavors that we use with chili. And it really indeed is a vegetable curry, but the thickening was bulgur, and that it seemed to please me very much. So I'll get the recipe back here, and if you write them a letter so they'll know where to mail it, and then I'll have it back here, and they'll mail it to you some of these days.
Thank you. Well, you're talking about changing eating habits. It prompts one of my next two questions.
Yes.
We all love cookies. We need to be sure that we're not using Crisco anymore, so we switch to butter.
Right.
Does anyone have it figured out how you can use half butter and half canola oil, or what's the proportion? How can we lower the fat? Does anybody have any good cookie recipes that are lower in fat?
My feeling is figure it out yourself, because you're on the right track, because it's the chemical property of the oil and not the calories that make the baking done right. I have seen recipes recently where they give you an either or. You can either use this or you can add oil, but I haven't found any formulas for cut on. But my feeling is do some experiment, cutting it in half, and now let's see. Aren't there? No, that's balance. Smart Balance that has canola oil in it now, but they're putting it in other things. I think that you could probably just decide, well, instead of a tablespoon of butter, I'll put a tablespoon of oil in, and sort of make that up for yourself. And depend, I wouldn't push it too far, and you know, have more oil and maybe just a little bit of butter, but some of those things I think would work. Then you may find it will be too liquid, and so then you may want to sprinkle a little bit more of the flour in.
All right. So I just hope somebody figured that
out. Okay. I have sort of wondered the same thing, and I've never found anything that says, oh, here's the way you substitute or here's the way you add. There may be a source, and maybe someone will know of a source that's listening to the program. And keep looking. The current crop of cooking books constantly has little things like that in it, and just keep looking, because I have thought the same thing, like I'd rather not use this. Well then, if I don't use that, what'll I do, or what am I losing if I take it out? I find it very easy to not put a full measure of sugar in. It's very easy. It doesn't seem to affect it at all, except it isn't as sweet, and you don't want that anyway, so I can get by with that. But oil is a part of the chemistry of cooking.
Okay, and the last one is just a small thing. At the beginning of the show, you had you talked about the caraway cookie recipe.
Yes.
And you said 2 sticks of butter, but you also said a half cup of butter, and I would like you to clarify which.
That one is a half a cup.
Okay, so one
stick. But no. One stick is a quarter of a cup. Isn't it? Oh, there's 2 cups to a pound. So a quarter of a... Let's see. You get four of those.
You get four of those in a pound.
Four of those,
right?
Little sticks in a pound. So a stick is a quarter of a pound, but then a half of a cup is... a half a cup
it's
is...
It's printed on the wrapper. That's all I know.
A half a cup is one stick, because you've got...
Right.
You've got... 2 cups, so you've got 4 of those. So a half a cup and a 1 stick are the same thing.
Right. So did you use 2 sticks or did you use...
Oh, I see. Oh, no. It's 1/2 a cup. So it was only one. It was only 1 stick.
1 stick. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. Oh, you,
you
frightened me there.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Say, I'm just... And again, for the benefit of that listener and anybody else, when she raised this question about... oil, substituting oil for butter. I thought, well, okay, I'm here in front of my computer, so I just put into the search engine, can I substitute canola for butter? And came up with a whole bunch of hits, and I just happened to click on the first one, which is from the website of Cooking Light.
And that's who'd have it.
They
yes.
have something here where I guess you can write in with a question, and then other people are also writing in with their answers. And the question is, can I substitute canola oil for some of the butter in cookies? And several people wrote in, and it seems like different people have different answers. That some people say, yeah, you can do that, but you got to be really careful that you don't put in too much oil. Someone here says you can substitute 3 parts oil for every 4 parts solid fat and think about increasing the amount of sugar and eggs. And that says pie crusts made with oil are not as flaky as those made with solid fat. Here's another one where someone writes in and cites a website and says you can substitute canola or for butter or margarine. So 1 cup butter, 14 tablespoons canola, 3 quarters cup butter, 10 tablespoons, 1/2 cup butter, 7 tablespoons, 1/4 cup butter, 3.5 tablespoons canola. So I guess there, yes, if you have internet, you could probably find all kinds of suggestions. And I guess the thing is you just have to try it and see how it worked out for you. And if you liked it, fine. And if not, well, you just might have to take whatever it was and throw it in the garbage because you were not happy with the result. But I guess that's the, you know, and maybe as you say, the thing is you just have to fiddle with it and you might have to do some experimenting until you got it to the point where you wanted it. And maybe there's somebody listening who has a strong feeling about, yeah, yes, I have done it and here's how I have done it. And I can tell you that it works.
Yeah, Cooking Light would be one of the sources that would have the latest thing. That's been a new desire from a lot of people. I mean, so it's not, I don't think it's gone through all the test kitchens yet.
About 10 minutes left here on the program.
What?
It's the first Wednesday, the clock, you know, the old clock in the month. First Wednesday of the month, we talk about food and cooking with this guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And he said this time around, well, he'd like to hear some cookie recipes. He went out and got a couple that are interesting and unusual that he's given. And maybe somebody there listening has a good cookie recipe, particularly if it's something that's a little different, you know, has maybe some unusual component like the ones that he has given. And, I know I'm nattering on here, but I did go back to the website and there is a vegetarian chili recipe here of Doyle's. And I'm wondering if essentially
it's not the same thing because it doesn't have bulgur in it. That was my great find. Was to find one with bulgur.
So with this recipe, there is that same story you told about making it for people in Britain who said that it basically was like vegetable curry. Vegetable curry?
Yes. Make it all the time.
All right. Okay. Did you have?
Well, I have one more thought. I don't know. I had to do some research on this because I was thinking in my own mind about the making of cookies and that what it was that my mother did that was so unusual. I thought it was unusual, and I never saw anybody else make them, and she never had a name for them. But somewhere I found a name not too long ago, and then I had a heck of a time trying to find it again. It's called Drei Augen, the Three Eyes. And I remember mother making these, but they were made rarely. And they were made with great care, and it wasn't secretive, but it was special. So I never was a part of making these cookies, but I know when they were being made, she kind of made them very special. And they're the little cookie that is one, the bottom piece is flat. There's a jelly spread on that. No, not a jelly, a jam spread on top of that, and then a second little crust is put down on top, and it has three holes in it. And I remember that she made those three holes with her thimble. She would always go get her thimble and make those three little holes. I never was asked to help with that. That never was a task that I did. So they were always sort of a surprise and always a great delight, and they were always served on a plate. They were never stuck into a cookie jar. You know, they weren't just a herd of things made and put away. They were always very, very special. And I tried to look that up because I was trying to think, what was it that was so unique about the act of eating those? Because you did it slowly, you did it with reverence. And, I mean, come on, how can an 8-year-old kid be reverent about munching on a cookie, except I always remembered that being so special that you took care and you appreciated it so much. And I have found them. Earlier today we were talking that there is the Swiss Spitzbube. Mm-hmm. That translation is the bad boy, and the three eyes were the three eyes. I thought, where could that have come from? Again, as you're well aware, my mother was Pennsylvania Dutch extract, so I have an idea. It's a German cookie that her mother taught her. And I have the idea that the same reverence was passed on because it became a ritual totally different from, oh, well, we'll just make these sugar cookies and whip them up and that'll be it. And it was always sort of secretive and quiet, and we didn't have powdered sugar, so I know there was no powdered sugar on top. Mm-hmm. But I always thought they were interesting because if you squished them just right, you could squeeze the jam up through the holes. Anyway, I found the recipe.
We got somebody else to talk with here. Let's do this. Charleston, line number one right here. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Doyle wants some unusual cookie recipes.
Indeed.
I have one. It's my favorite cookie. It has no milk and no eggs.
Good. I'm interested in that. That's peculiar to me.
Yeah. I got the recipe when I was allergic to milk and eggs.
Uh-huh.
It has ever since been called brittle peanut cookies.
Hmm.
Okay. And you start out, you have to have raw peanuts. I know they're hard to find much of the time, but often...
Those would be the Spanish peanuts you can get raw, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which one, as long as it's raw.
Yeah.
And you start out with, well, you take a cup of raw peanuts and a half a cup of water... and a half a cup of oil, can be any oil you want. I usually skimp on the oil. It's almost a half a cup. And a teaspoon of vanilla, and you blend those together in a blender.
Okay, so you grind them all up. So a cup of peanuts, a half a cup of water, half a cup of oil, and a teaspoon of vanilla, and grind them up.
Then in your mixing bowl, you put in 2 cups of oatmeal, and I've used regular rolled oats, and I've used cook oats, and it doesn't seem to matter. Half a cup of brown sugar.
Yep.
And a half a teaspoon of salt, if I remember to put it in.
That's it, yes.
Then you mix the dry stuff together. You add the liquid. Then in your blender, you take another half a cup of peanuts.
Yes.
Peanuts. And you kind of break them up.
All right, so they're kind of just crushed.
Crushed a bit. And mix all that together, make them into little balls on a cookie sheet. Now, I use a little, one of these tiny, like, ice cream scoops.
Oh, yes.
And I'll fill the ice cream scoop, and I'll put it on the tray, and then I kind of pat it.
Yes.
Down. These don't spread. And you bake them at 325 until they're lightly browned.
Oh, 325, that's low, yes.
Yeah. It takes, you got to get those peanuts cooked, 20 to 30 minutes.
All right.
And then you loose them with a spatula and let them cool before you start handling them, because otherwise they fall apart.
Now, that's very interesting, because there you are with dry things, and the only liquid you have is water and oil.
Precisely.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. That interests me because... You know, as I say, you're always in that sugar, butter, add an egg, put in some milk, and then that's the beginning of whatever you're making. And so I was attracted to these two recipes that I just gave for exactly the same reason. It didn't have eggs and milk. That's good. Now, what did you call these again? Brittle?
They're called brittle peanut cookies.
Brittle peanut cookies.
Because... you know, they're crunchy. The peanuts in there, the ones that are just chopped up, are crunchy.
And they would taste good when you baked them. Those peanuts would then get toasted, and they'd be pretty good, wouldn't they?
They're very good.
Well, I like that. Thank you very much. That's a new one for me, too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I really like them.
Okay. Right. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks. It does sound good. It sounds very good. Okay, let's try and get one.
If you've ever eaten granola, homemade granola.
Oh, yes.
They're like homemade granola cookies. They're a little sweeter than granola because of that much sugar.
I see. Yeah.
I have made them with only a fourth of a cup of sugar because I forgot the recipe and I was working from memory. And they still tasted okay.
And brown sugar, that would be good with those. I'm fond of cooking with brown sugar. That's good. Well, thank you very much.
We appreciate that. Let us talk with someone else. We'll come back here to Champagne, and this is line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know how unusual this one is. It's just one that I inherited from my grandmother, and it's called a Swedish cream wafer. I make it maybe once every 5 years because it's a lot of work, I think. But it basically has butter, cream, flour, and that's the wafer, and then the inside is more butter and confectioner sugar, and they really are decadent.
Oh, yeah, butter and sugar, yeah.
Yeah.
And powdered sugar.
The recipe actually does call for an egg yolk in the filling, but I don't ever use it because, I don't know, I guess I just don't like using egg yolk and leaving it out.
Well, that's a good...
And it doesn't seem to affect the flavor, but they're not a lot of work for somebody who bakes a lot, but you have to make these wafers that are very fragile. So you have to bake them just the right amount of time.
There is that problem of overcooking them. Then they get too crisp and they shatter. So you do have to watch that. Yes.
Yeah. So it just takes a lot of time. You have to make all these wafers and then you have to wait and you fill them all, and they don't last long. You know, I put them out and they're gone in an instant.
Well, that sounds like these things that I was describing with the three eyeballs staring at you. They were fragile, and you ate them very, very small amounts. That's good.
Yeah.
There wasn't a name for these?
It was just a recipe I found in my grandmother's recipe box called Swedish cream wafers.
Swedish cream wafers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Swedish cream.
It probably is why Swedes have lots of diabetes.
Well,
they eat this very much.
That could be with butter and powdered sugar fillings for the cookies, yes. Well, thank you. That's a treat. That sounds like a treat.
Oh, thank you. See, then what you're supposed to, after you have your cookies, then you're supposed to go out in the field and with a big scythe and go out and cut hay or something.
You gotta
work it off.
Get out there and dig those potatoes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's the Finns that eat the potatoes so much. But that's close enough.
We got a couple of minutes here left. Someone wants to call us real quick. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. We're talking about cookies this time around. When we do these shows, we, and when I say we, I mean he.
The royal we.
The royal we picks the topic, and it's something that just there's a revelation. There's a burning bush. I don't know what it is. He comes up with the idea, but I think his thought this time around was, well, you know, yeah, we're getting into fall now, and we're getting into the time where we feel like turning on the oven. So what do you want to do? Oh, well, let's make some cookies.
Let's make some cookies.
That was the idea. And he came up with a couple of unusual ones.
I didn't want to make regular cookies because that all of a sudden becomes such a mundane task, you just don't even think about it. And it's fine, and especially if you have a family that you're cooking for, that's easy enough to do. Yeah, but I thought, there's got to be something new, something out there that hasn't been exploited enough, and I was sort of surprised. So you see, I've collected another recipe with no milk and eggs in it, and I think that's unusual, if not maybe the right thing at the right time. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, what we can do is I don't know if we can get these recipes on the website, but we have the recipes. So if folks will just drop us a line, I'm sure that we can send out recipes. If you'd like to have the ones that we've mentioned, particularly Doyle's, the potato chip cookies and the other one that has that interesting mixture of spices.
Of nothing.
And caraway. Yeah. That's I think, the thing that gives that one the
I like that one.
The kick.
Yeah, we've got those. I've got them. I've got them right here. I'm going to leave them here.
Okay.
So there will at least be copies here. If nothing else, you can ask them. They'll Xerox them and send them out to you.
So what do you want to do next month?
Gee, Marty, I don't know. What do you,
what do you want to do? I don't know.
It isn't next month yet.
Oh, that's right. All right. I know. Yes, the inspiration, it just.
Well, one of the things, we've played so long at doing this, and we've gone through all of the, it's this time of the year we have to have, you know, we did the pumpkin pies until they ran out of our ears. I have tried to find things that would be compliments rather than what to expect to do. That would give us 12 recipes a year if we followed, all right, this is the pumpkin day, and this is that day, and this is that day. I don't know. I'll figure it out between now and November 1st.
Well, in the meantime, this weekend on Saturday at the Urbana Farmers Market, Doyle and I will be there with other WILO folks. We've been doing that for a couple of weekends now. Diane Nolan was there one day, and so she had a lot of folks stopping by to talk about plant issues and growing things. I know Jay Pierce has been there. A lot of other WILO folks have been there to say hi. And so we're going to be there this coming weekend, Saturday, from 9 to 11. And we'll have some of our now famous cookbooks from these two TV cooking shows.
Well, they're so worth it, too.
If you didn't get a copy, we'll get one for you, crockpots and the picnic.
Gee, I'll sign either one of them. I got a recipe in both. Ha, ha, ha.
So that makes it even that much more valuable.
Does indeed.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.
Doyle Moore, the man we'd like to call our chef in residence. He's here with us first Wednesday of every month, and we'll be back again next month, and who knows what we'll do.
I'm going to go home and eat cookies.
All right, yeah.
Because I know I've got them.
Because you got them.